Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares a message titled, Grateful for Something New, New Mercies.
There's a word from the Lord this morning as we continue this series in this year of 2026, in which we have declared the word for this year is grateful. This is the first series of the year. It is entitled Grateful for Something New. Our next series that we'll do sometimes later this year is called Grateful for What He's Already Done. We'll end the year grateful for what He's going to do. I think you see the pattern, what He's doing, what He's already done, and what He's going to do. Look at somebody and say, everybody's covered. Amen. Everybody's covered. This is the sixth of seven messages in this series, Grateful for Something New. The text is found in one of my absolute favorite books in the Bible, Old Testament, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, reading from the King James Version. Thank you, Deacon Moore. I'm sure you appreciate that. Amen. From the King James Version. Deacon Moore said last time I read from there, he said, I'm glad to know you still got the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Listen to the reading from the King James Version, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies. Somebody say mercies, plural. Did you catch it? I'll be happy just for a mercy. But I'm really happy for mercies. Amen. That we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. The next few moments I want to speak to you from this subject, just two words. Look at someone and say, new mercies. Now, before you sit down, say, neighbor, I am so grateful for new mercies. I clap those hands as you take your seat. Amen. New mercies, new mercies. In this age of distress, heartaches, trials, and tribulations, one of the ways that our enemy, Satan, tries to discourage us, particularly those of us who are people of faith, he tries to convince us, listen to this, that our past mistakes will never be forgiven or forgotten. Look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. But he tries. He comes relentlessly. For we are told in the Bible that even as he tempted Jesus in the wilderness after Jesus' baptism. By the way, can we celebrate this morning we had 15 souls to be baptized? Amen. Amen. 15 souls to be baptized. But after Jesus' baptism, Satan tempted him. And that passage ends and says, but he left for a season, which meant he intended on coming back. The enemy is relentless. He does not give up trying to destroy us. One of the ways he tries to do that is to convince us that what we have done in the past is so horrendous, so horrific, so horrible that they will never be forgiven or forgotten. For the enemy knows that the only way, please listen to this, that he wins is that if we give up. In fact, he knows he's already lost because on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished. But he knows that the only way he prevails in our lives is that if we give up, not if you fall, but if you give up. Not if we sin, but if we give up. Not if we make a mistake, but if we give up. He knows this. May I have time to preach this message this morning? And perhaps this is why he attacks not our flesh, but our emotions. He wants you to think he's after your flesh, but in actuality, he really attacks your emotions, your spirit, your mindset. If I can get in between their ears, Satan says, if I can get in their spirits, if I can get them upset so long they forget what they're upset about, if I can get them angry at somebody so long that they forget what they are angry with them about, then I have them. Because Satan knows what the Apostle Paul knew and wrote when Paul writes, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Things that we're dealing with are not carnal. They are not fleshly. They are not just human things, but they're spiritual. They deal with principalities and high places. Satan wants to confuse us. He wants to depress us. The enemy knows that if we, particularly those of us who are people of faith, why do I say that? Because we are the billboards. We are the commercials for the kingdom. For Jesus says, let them see your light and glorify your Father is in heaven. If your light is dim or has been snuffed out, then others will never see the light. The enemy knows that. The enemy knows that if we feel helpless, if we are despondent over our past mistakes, and he has us just where he wants us, feeling vulnerable. That's what he wants you. He wants you to wake up feeling vulnerable, feeling, I don't know if I can make it or not. Tired, not coming to church for the next 3 weeks because somebody made me mad. I told somebody just last week, it's the difference in saying you're grateful and acting like you're grateful. Being grateful is showing up when you're depressed and you're hurt because, Lord, I love you. Satan knows that. He wants to get us in a state of vulnerability where he can attack us and he can cut off our witness and he can stop our testimony. That's why the scripture says, and I will preach this before this year is out, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Satan knows that if he can shut you up, whew, if he can get you to stay in your house and feel helpless and pity party and sorry for yourself, folk treat me bad. Wake up. This is life. People treat you bad in life. But be not weary, whew, in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap a harvest of blessings if we faint not. Satan knows that. That's his tactics. That's what he wants to do. But the good news, look at somebody and say, tell us the good news, Pastor. The good news is that God's mercy never runs out. Even after our mistakes and failures. Ooh, look at somebody and say, neighbor, God always has enough mercy for you and me and everybody else. They never run out. The devil is a liar. Here's what God told me the other day, and it blessed me so, and I told them, thank you upstairs for going with me this morning. I changed this on last night. I was sitting on my couch just meditating on the Tony G over God's word and what God wanted me to preach, and God said, I need you to say this, that God is still birthing something new and good in us despite what we have done. Who am I preaching to? Because somebody, the enemy, has told you a lie. The enemy has said to you that God has no use for you. God's sick of you. God's disappointed in you. God has given up on you. But look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. Can you help me prophesize and bless somebody? Say, neighbor, God is birthing something new and good in you. Ooh, right now. God is doing it right now. Now faith is. Ooh, God said, I know your story. God is the only one that knew your book before the book was written. God is the only one who knew the last chapter before the first chapter was even read. God says, I know your downsettings and your uprisings. I know your thoughts are far off, and I still choose to bless you. I still choose to birth something new and good in you. Something good is coming your way. And I know I've been through something, Pastor. I've had some disappointments in my life. I feel as if nobody is giving me a second chance. The problem is you're worried about the nobodies and not concerned about the somebody. And so when you concentrate on the somebody, you don't care about the nobodies. In fact, why you get upset over nobodies? You said it, I didn't. Nobody cares for me. If it's nobody, what you worried about? Amen. So as long as God is on your side, everything is going to be all right. I just need, don't y'all fool me if you don't feel like it, but I just need a handful of grateful folk to leap one time and say, I'm grateful. Ooh. I am grateful. God is birthing something new and good in my life. Every morning, God offers us new mercies. And for that, we are grateful. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you says God's doing something new in my life, and today is February the 8th, and I don't know if anything new and good has happened to me. What? Look at your neighbor and just throw your hands up and say, really? Ask him, who woke you up this morning? The last time I checked, God wakes us up with new breath in our bodies. The breath and the air we breathed last night, God said, I'll wake you up with a lung full of new air. Woo. Somebody, if for no other reason, ought to give God a praise because you got up this morning and you are able to breathe. Let me let you take the praise test. Let everything that have breath. Not everybody that has a job. Not everybody that's in a good relationship. Not everybody with a great house. But let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Don't you think you owe God a praise? Don't you think you owe God a praise? Lord, I thank you. Ooh, Lord, I thank you. Satan's been on my track, trying to turn me back. You brought me from a mighty long way. If it had not been for God that was on my side, when my enemy and my foe came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. If you can breathe, you ought to be grateful. Ooh. If you can blink your eye, you ought to be grateful. If you can wiggle your toes or your finger, you ought to be grateful. If you can do nothing but just say, Lord, I thank you. Woo! Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are sitting next to one grateful somebody. Make no mistake about it. I am grateful. Listen, in this incredible text, may I have time to preach? Y'all have had two Sundays off. Okay, I'm giving at least an extra 10 minutes, okay? 5 minutes for every week, okay? In this incredible text, let us explore what it says about new mercies. The book of Lamentations is perhaps one of the most unique of all of the Old Testament books. Let me just be a little scholarly with you here for a moment, just so you can get some context. The book of Lamentations only consists of 5 chapters, but in essence, there are 5 separate poetic writings. It is a book that the scholars debated as they put together the canonization of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. Where does it fit? Is it historical or is it poetic? Should we put it behind Psalms, Ecclesiastic, Proverbs? Or should we put it behind the historical books or the prophetic books? But because it is believed to have been written by Jeremiah, it was placed behind the prophetic writings of Jeremiah. Lamentations is unique and powerful in its sense that it deals with an actual occurrence that happened during the life of the people of Judah and the nation of Israel. Written by Jeremiah during a season of deep sorrow and distress for the people of Judah, but it was their fault. I'm preaching now. Some of us complain about what's going on in our life, but it's sometimes your fault. Amen. Can I preach? Yeah, nobody told you to bring him in your house. Somebody say, help me, Holy Ghost. Don't go there, Pastor. I'll leave it alone right now, okay? And then when your house is a wreck, your mess is a wreck, you're in debt, they left and took your car and your furniture in the house. Oh, help me, y'all, just leave that alone. Such was the case, if you allow me the liberty to put some context on the text. Such was the case with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. 586 BC was the setting. Why is that important? Because that was a tipping point, a turning point in the nation of Israel. For almost 500 years prior, they have lived under what is known as the Davidic Covenant of David, in which they have been governed by the leaders of the kingdom of Israel from the line and the succession of David. You know the promise that God made Abraham, that I'll bless your people and your people's people. Such was the case God did. For so almost 500 years, Dr. Cheryl Washington, they had been blessed, living, although they were disobedient and they were evil and they backslid. In fact, they backslid it so much at one time one of the prophets called them, not the words of Pastor Jackson, but the words of the prophet, backsliding heifers. That's what the prophet called them. You are like backsliding heifers. Kay Patterson reminded me that word was in the Bible when he was alive, okay? And so such was the case with the people of Israel. They were backsliding heifers. Bible said it. God put up with them as long as God could put up with them. I blessed them. They went back, repented. God blessed them. God destroyed them for a time being. And then they went back, fell on their knees. Lord, we'll never do it again. And they did it. Doesn't that sound like somebody else who, a country? And somebody, I said to the church this morning, someone needs to remind America as we commemorate 250 years, not celebrate, because it's hard for me to celebrate 250 years when many of those years were slavery and Jim Crow, but I will commemorate it. I will recognize it, okay? So as we commemorate 250 years, somebody needs to remind America that God hasn't had the final say-so yet. So after 500 years, God was sick and tired of Israel. God said, I am gonna issue a severe and a harsh punishment. God raised up an adversary in a strange land. The adversary's name was Nebuchadnezzar. The land was Babylon. And God raised the Babylonians under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, and they invaded Israel. They destroyed the temple. They burnt down the city. They tore down the walls. So now Jerusalem lays in ruin, and they kidnapped many of their young, brightest, talented people and carried them in a strange land. They were so depressed, some of the young people, they lost their joy. Psalms 137 is an example of that, in which the Babylonian says, can you sing us one of the songs of Zion? And they responded, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So God was angry. God was upset. May I preach this? And God says, you messed up. This was your fault. You did this. And I've, in fact, help me out upstairs. Go to Lamentations chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3, the New King James Version. I'm going to show you. Y'all gave me 10 extra minutes. I need 5 more. I need y'all. I'm going to show you how upset God. And you don't believe it unless you see it. Here is what Jeremiah said. And chapter 2 is important before you get to chapter 3. Listen to this. He says, and I'll quote, he has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its prince. This is what God did. Go ahead, look at what he said. He goes on to say, as we continue, he has cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. In other words, the only reason the enemy had not destroyed you before is because the hand of God, whoo, kept the enemy away. But there comes a point when God gets fed up. Who am I preaching to? There comes a point the Spirit of the Lord does not strive with men always. There comes a point where God gets fed up with your hypocrisy. God gets fed up with your pretending that you are a saint. God said, I can't take it anymore. Here's what God said. I am just going to withdraw my protection from you, because what they don't understand is that to this point, Sister Kim Diamond, they had been covered by God. Somebody say covered. See, what you don't know is that the reason why you are blessed the way you are is that God covered you. Yes, love covers a multitude of faults. And some of you, even in your wickedness, God still covered you. And God still protected you. And God didn't allow the enemy to destroy you. God covered the nation of Israel for years. But God says, I'm sick of you. Tired of you. I've covered you enough. He said, listen, this is what's going to happen if I withdraw my right hand of protection. Where would your family be if God had not covered them? I want to preach to all the bougie, uppity, sedity folk who think that you don't need God. You are too blessed to praise God. Where would you be if God had not been on your side? This is a good time for somebody to jump to your feet and give me a 20-second thank you for covering me, Lord. thank you for covering me, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did. So here's what God did. God withdrew his hand. God said, if you're that big and bad, if you think you can make it on your own, why don't you try it? And God withdrew his hands of protection. And Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians came in like a mighty flood, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, knocked down the walls. All hope appeared to have been lost. But the good news is that God was not through with them yet. Can I preach to somebody that fell down, but God picked you up? Anybody grateful that God didn't give up on you? Can I get a handful of folk that say, Pastor Jackson, I am so grateful that God did not give up on me. Any grateful folk? God allowed the enemy to destroy their stuff, to destroy their temple. But God, I'm going somewhere, but God, he told Jeremiah, the story is not over yet. Who am I preaching to? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, God says, your story is not over yet. God is still writing your story. There's still some more chapters to your. Somebody who's grateful that your story isn't over yet, you ought to get up and give God a virtual high five and say, Lord, I thank you. Woo! My story is not over yet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my story is not over yet. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Somebody ought to give God a praise over the next season. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, this praise is over the next chapter, over the next season. If you don't think they like you now, wait until they see your next season. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Somebody throw those hands up and say, Lord, I'm expecting another season, a greater season, a better season. Y'all sit down before church breaks out. Sit down before praise breaks out. Woo! Yeah, yeah. I had to share with you chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, so that you can appreciate chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Perhaps if you had not heard chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, in which God removed his hands, you would not appreciate chapter 23, verses 22 and 23. Here we go. It is of the Lord's mercies, woo, that we are not consumed. Put a pin right there and say, neighbor, you lost your temple. You lost your walls. You lost the city. You lost your job. But you know what? You are still here. Tell somebody, I am still here. I may have lost some things, but I have not been consumed. Somebody ought to give God a praise that you are still here. And I haven't said this in about 2 years, but y'all know every now and then I've got to quote my famous literary works, The Color Purple. Somebody say, preach, pastor. Y'all still gave me 5 more minutes? Every now and then, I gotta tell y'all about Mr. and Seeley. Can I preach? At the end of the movie, Seeley moving out. Mr. got an attitude. Seeley getting in the car. Mr. got an attitude. Mr. say, you're leaving, but you're still broke and you're still ugly. Seeley say, I may be broke, I may be ugly, but I still here. All I need is about 50 folk that say, I may be ugly, I may be broke, but I'm still. Somebody ought to help me give God a praise. Can we put a praise break on it? Come on, brother musicians, give me a praise break over no other reason than I am still. At your neighbor who hadn't moved all service and say, neighbor, I don't know what you went through, but I know this, if you can't praise God for nothing else, just praise God that you're still here. Jump in the aisleway and give God a quick dance over I'm still. Somebody shout new mercies. Give me a minute. Ooh. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Ooh, still here. Shake your head and say, I'm still here. Ooh, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is, ooh, great is your faithfulness. Let me give you these 3,000. Let me give you this. I would have done it on a Tuesday night, but I'm not teaching on Tuesday night for a long time. So I just want to give you this right now for a moment here. I just want to give you this. 3 key insights. Tell your neighbor, don't miss this. Somebody asked me once, why y'all shout before? Most Baptist preachers shout at the end of a message. I say, no guarantee I get to the end. So, amen. Praise God when you feel like it. Amen. Amen. 3 key insights. New mercies come from God. Look at the text. Tell your neighbor, look at the text. It is of whose mercies? Whose mercies? Not your mama, your daddy, the church. Not because pastor prayed over you. It is of the Lord's mercies. New mercies are blessings from God and not something we have earned. Look at somebody and say, it's not yours. It's God's. You aren't blessed because you are righteous. Amen. You're righteous because God is good. Amen. God's new mercies are not based on who we are, but because of his grace. Here's the definition of grace: the unmerited favor of God. Favor is free. Favor is not fair. Favor is when God blesses you with something that you did not deserve. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. If God gave you what you earned, you wouldn't have anything. Somebody, that's why I wanted to get that praise in, but I want you to hear this. I don't want this to get lost in the praise. Okay. What you have is a gift from God. Every morning you wake up with new mercies. It has nothing to do with how righteous you have been. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's God's grace. David writes in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here's the second key insight: new mercies, and here's what makes it special, are provided daily. Here's what the text says: they are new. One more time, they are new. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. God doesn't serve leftover mercies. God does not recycle mercies. They are new and fresh every morning. Ooh. So every morning you wake up, God has mercies for you for what you are going to experience that day. And here's why it is so important: when you get your blessings daily, you don't have to hoard them. You don't have to try to save them. Because you know that every morning you wake up, you're going to get something new with God's name on it. So here's what God told me. I need you to help me with this last one and look at somebody sitting next to you and say, stop worrying about yesterday's failures and disappointments. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, focus on what God is doing today in our lives. What he's doing right now. Look at somebody and say, what is God doing right now? Ooh, Lord, I thank you. I'm not even worried about what's going to happen tomorrow when I go to work. I'll let tomorrow take care of itself. But I thank you for waking me up Sunday morning. I thank you for breath in my body. I thank you for bringing my children home safe last night. I thank you, ooh, for food on my table today. I thank you, clothes on my back today. Here's the third and the final one as you stand up on your feet. Ooh, new mercies reveal God's faithfulness. Here's the part that I really like. After he went through all of that, remember chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, God withdrew his hand. Then chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, God says, I sent you mercy to make up for the devastation. I sent you mercy that is renewed strength. I sent you mercy that will renew your spirituality, that will renew your relationship with me. And the only reason why I did that is because I'm faithful. Ooh. We haven't always been faithful to God. But the truth is God has been faithful to us. And here's what it means. Come on, praise team, right now, because I want you to sing this song softly in the background. Donnie McClurkin's song, Great Is Thy Mercy. Here's what I want you to hear. God's faithfulness means this. Before you come to the altar, God's faithfulness means he is consistent. Look at someone and say, God is consistent and dependable. He won't walk out on you. He will not give up on you. Even when everything else around us changes, God is consistent. God is dependable. And when life feels uncertain, help me find a praise partner and say, when life feels uncertain, trust in the faithfulness of God. Now look at your neighbor and say, he will always come through. God will never give up. Ooh, God has never given up on you. And here's the special altar call. To those of you that are grateful for God's new mercies on your life, in your life, over your life. And you know the only reason that you are standing here this morning is because of God's new mercies. Your testimony is your willingness to step out and flood this altar right now. Come on, right now, everybody that want to come. This altar, I want this altar to be packed with grateful folk. I'm not asking you for anything this morning, Lord. Ooh, I'm not coming to this altar asking you to do anything. Ooh, I'm coming because I'm grateful, ooh, for your new mercies. I could have been consumed, but I was not. I could have been destroyed, ooh, but I am not. Could have been sleeping in my grave, Ooh, but I'm not. Ooh, I could be institutionalized right now, but I'm not. You've heard me say this. The older you get, the more you ought to thank God for your right mind. And I used to say that until somebody told me the other day, Brother Diamond, they told me the other day of this 41-year-old black male who has full-blown Alzheimer's. 41 years old, doesn't even know his name. Ooh, can't even feed himself. And I said, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because I'm clothed in my... Can I preach to this side of the church? Is there anybody grateful, Lord? I don't need the house, the car, the job. I just thank you that I've got my right. Come on, Regina. Come on, teammate. Tell him. Come on, all the worshipers. Come on. All the worshipers. Your loving kindness
towards your tender mercy.
I'm grateful for your new mercies. Thanking God for everything. Ooh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I call Atlanta, Georgia, hear the voice of my granddaughter and say, you got home last night? I'm all right, granddad. I said, thank you, Lord. Ooh, I don't need big miracles. I just need you to keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. My grandkids return home from school. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Ooh,
you live to see another week traveling over the dangerous highways. Come on, somebody ought to thank God for new mercies every day. It could have been you. Come on, somebody great. Come on and tell them
mercy. Great is your grace, great is your grace, great is your mercy, great is your mercy, your loving kindness, yes, oh, your tender mercies, hey, day after day, yeah.
eyes, lift those hands. Now here's the challenge. God never gave up on them. God gave Israel a chance to come back to him. God says, I'll never give up on you. But you can't stay in the mess that you're in. You've got to recognize that God wants you to do something different in your life. And maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice right now. You're joining us virtually. We can put the QR code up, or you're here right now. And you say, Lord, I cannot go back the way I came. See, to go back in the mess that God brought you out of makes his new mercies irrelevant. But God bless you for a reason. Somebody right now, I don't know who you are, but somebody right now, God says the next season in your life begins right now. After this prayer, if you're in this worship center, meet me at this altar. If you're joining us virtually, go to that code that's on the screen. But here's the deal. I wouldn't care about who's watching me. I wouldn't worry about what folk think about me. This is just you and God right now. You and God, thank you, Lord. You protected me for a reason. You kept me for a reason. Other folk got shot in the club, but I did not. Other folk in the gang lost their life, but I. Ooh, but I did not. For a reason, Lord, and I say thank you. Eternal Father, we thank you. We bless you for this day. Thank you for new mercies. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a day full of new mercies. Thank you for those that you have reminded that, contrary to what the enemy says, you will never give up on them. They are always forgiven, and their sins will one day be forgotten. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in somebody's life. Thank you for what we call the small miracles that you bless us with every day, and we're grateful. We will not take you for granted or what you've done for granted. It's in your name we pray and give thanks. And those who know it so, and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Somebody say amen. Look at somebody. You don't have to hug and touch, but just wave and say, I'm grateful. Ooh, come on, if you are here this morning, somebody that just want to preach, I just want to shake your hand. I just want you to know that I want to do it. Good to see you. I want to recommit my life to you. I want to make that recommitment. Thank you. Amen. I want to join the church, whatever your preference is, whatever. Others have come. You're loving. Thank you, young man. Look at this awesome young man. Thank you, man. Proud of you, brother. Look at this young brother. Come on, somebody come here, stand with him. Where are you? Come here, Brother Freeze or somebody else. I want one of the young men to come and just greet this young man right now. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Maybe there's somebody else. It took some courage for this young man to come and walk down the aisles right now. Thank you, Brother Wilson. Somebody else, maybe God's calling you. This is your day that God is calling you right now. Anyone else that God's calling you, clap your hands and give God a hand of praise right now. Now, come on, Bible Way, celebrate. Brother, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I thought we had some young men somewhere that's going to come. I know we got these brothers here. Don't worry. Great is your grace. Thank you, Brother Godfather. Great is
your mercy.
Come on, Brother Freeze is coming to walk this brother down the aisle, Eric. Yeah, come on. Take him in the back. Give God a hand of praise. Right here. Maybe there's somebody else. Can I tell you what God has told me? Wait a minute, hold up for a minute, Matt. God has told me this. There's a young lady in here who was this close to giving up. Y'all know I don't do this every Sunday, but every now and then I feel a prophetic anointing. I don't know your name. I don't know your situation. We don't need to know your situation. But God told me to do this, Elder Regina. There's a young lady this close to giving up. And God says, if you come, let me pray for you and with you, you'll never be in that position again. Maybe there's two or three young ladies. I know God told me. I saw it. God said there's this close. Maybe there's another young lady here. Thank you. Come on. Bring them to the altar, Elder Jennifer, to me right now. Somebody get me some oil. Hey, preacher, I want you. Hey, come on. Hey, pray. I want Pastor Willamie to come and anoint them right now, and I'm going to pray over them quickly. God, I have to be obedient to what God said to me. I was about to do the benediction, and God said, not yet. Because, in fact, there are some young ladies in here. There are some women in here that God said you were this close to giving up. Ah!
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled, Grateful for Something New, New Mercies, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 020826. Again, the number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 020826. Sunday, February the 22nd, join us for a Black History Month celebration service at 8 and 11 a.m. in the worship service. Come dressed in cultural attire as we reflect, celebrate, and honor the richness of our heritage. This special day will feature guest speakers Dr. Rosalind Artis, president of Benedict College at the 8 a.m. morning service, and Dr. Bobby D. Donaldson, civil rights historian from the University of South Carolina at 11 a.m. Invite your family and friends to join us for this special Sunday service, February the 22nd, right here at Bible Way. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.